The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, with Lamb Lion Ministry, and we thank you for being part of today's program. Today's program is titled Vengeance of the Lord, as we continue making our way in this verse-by-verse study of the book of Isaiah. So we hope that you can stay tuned and get your Bible so that you can follow along with us in this amazing study. For those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host, Nathan Jones, if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to dive into Isaiah and to hear your heart, Lord, as you call your people to repentance, a message that resonates today, Lord. So all of us tuned in are looking to learn more about you and grow in our relationship with you. We pray for your blessing on that. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. And again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is the vengeance of the Lord as we look at the amazing book of Isaiah. But before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another amazing program that we get to do together.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, it just dawned on me, right? So this is the fourth episode since we've started going through the book of Isaiah and teaching through the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah has 66 chapters. So I had to do a little calculator here, math calculation. How long, if we do it at this pace, would it take us to get through the book of Isaiah? Just over 5 years.
Wait, what are you trying to say, man? That we're going to have to speed things up a little bit.
Well, you know, we took what Ezekiel was just 48 chapters and it was just over a year. So I think we're laying the groundwork here. It will go faster, but you know, if we do four episodes a chapter, we will get done in 5.07 years.
So what you're saying is that my grandkids that were just born this year, they're going to be 5 years old.
They'll be 5 years old when we're done, right? No, I'm not trying to scare any of you away, folks. We're glad you're with us. It'll pick up here and there as we go through, but Vic and I have always felt strongly that a verse-by-verse study of the Bible allows the Holy Spirit to speak through it and to open up things. You know, Vic and I will prepare to teach, and I'll come across things, and I know he will too, and it all of a sudden will be like, wow, I never thought of that before. You know, it's the Holy Spirit interpreting for you. And again, we always compare it to Scripture, make sure it's not our own private interpretation, but I think that's very important to just go verse by verse, let the Holy Spirit speak, of course, our research to confirm what we're studying. And I think it's the best way to study the Bible, don't you?
Oh, Nathan, and it's also a lot of fun because you and I, we believe we're always students, right, Nathan? We are always open to learning. And there's some things that you say and I'll say, wow, I never saw that before. Or yeah. The Holy Spirit will show me something and you say, oh, you know what? I never saw that before. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of that going on as we make it through the book of Isaiah, because the word of God is always fresh and God always brings out some wonderful revelations.
Absolutely. And when we finish in 2029, we will be very knowledgeable about the book of Isaiah.
Very knowledgeable. But maybe just in case maybe someone has missed our previous 10 years of programs, maybe you can share with them how they can get a hold of some of those resources.
Oh, good segue. Actually, more than 10, Vic and I started back when it was called Eyes on the Word back in 2010. And we took a hiatus for a while, but we came back, I believe, in 2012. And for the last, again, 12 plus years, we've been teaching through The Truth Will Set You Free. It's the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. It's our ministry is the Bible Prophecy Teaching Ministry, and its mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you've been traveling along with us on the podcast, know too that we also have a TV show with Tim Moore called The Truth Will Set You Truth Set You Free, this podcast, but the TV show is called Christ in Prophecy. The radio program on 850 stations right now, wow, just a few months, is also called Christ in Prophecy. You can go to our website at christinprophecy.org and sign up for the free e-version of the Lamplighter magazine, download our Lamb Lion app, and We just want to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ and get excited about his soon return. So check us out, ChristInProphecy.org.
Oh, thank you, Nate. And Nathan, that also reminds me, maybe someone is in the Texas area, there will be the annual conference coming up. And that's going to be really, that's around the corner.
Absolutely. Yes, our conference, we hold a big one every year in the Dallas, Texas area. This year's theme is called Nation in Freefall. We're going to have Pastor Jack Hibbs, Governor Mike Huckabee, the evangelist crew here, Tim Moore, Dave Reagan, Dave Bowen, myself, and two other speakers. And we're going to address how our nation is sliding into moral destitution. And that's what we're reading here in Isaiah chapter 1, the exact same thing. A society that's sliding into corruption and evil. You know, is there any way to stop it? What is God calling us to do? And so we'll be speaking on that. My own sermon was called Our Ultimate Adversary. And I think you can guess who that is. So that's what that lesson will be about. And when we get to Isaiah 14, we'll learn a lot more about that ultimate adversary, won't we?
Oh, Nathan, that's going to be exciting. I mean, a lot of passages are exciting because Isaiah is full of prophecies. And I think individuals are going to be quite surprised in the amazing things that they're going to learn here. But another thing they'll learn is the who God really is. God is love. God is just. But as we're going to notice, God is a God of vengeance. He will deal with sin, as we're noticing here, when people turn away from him. And that's what we're going to pick it up in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning on verse 24. Nate, will you be able to read for us verse 24 through 26, and I'll read verses 27 through 31, in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Absolutely. First, before we dive in, you did ask me how people get our previous podcasts. I'm sorry I didn't address that directly. They go to our website at ChristInProphecy.org. We have an RSS feed. You can also catch us on Spotify. You can catch us on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. So we have a wealth of places where you can catch up if you want to on, if you want to catch up on 14 years of podcasts, God bless you. Pick it up with verse 24, chapter 1 of Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city.
Verse 27, Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitent with righteousness. The destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the terebinth tree which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens. Noticing, reading from the New King James, verse 29, which you have chosen, for you shall be a terebinth whose leaves fade, and as a garden that has no water. Verse 31, the strong shall be a tinner, and the work of the spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Nathan, that's another side of the Lord that individuals need to take serious.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You kind of read over the terebinth tree twice there. I had to look that up, too, when I was doing my research, is what is a terebinth tree, or what is the importance of it? And it was a site of pagan worship. They were sacred oaks, so to speak, trees where pagan rituals were done under. And so what he's saying is that you all should be ashamed for going after pagan gods, false gods, which are nothing more than demons. And so it's interesting here. The Lord's kind of stating a fact. He's not saying this is what I will do. It's like this is definitely going to happen. I'm going to purge you of the evil people. And I'm going to only leave a remnant of righteous. You know, they will be ashamed of what your people have done. And they're the ones who will get to go into my kingdom. So we'll see this theme throughout the book of Isaiah. It's the kingdom theme, the kingdom of Christ or the kingdom Messiah. How God is going to set up his kingdom of peace, righteousness, and justice after he's judged evil. And only those who are penitent and repentant and saved will enter into his millennial kingdom. So Isaiah is a very big lens that points right to, magnifies the kingdom concept throughout the book.
Nathan, that is fantastic. And again, as we look at those very sobering verses that you opened up reading for us, they're speaking about the vengeance of the Lord, and God will deal with sin. God will discipline his people. Israel as a nation, they're gathered back in their land today. They are God's people, but yet we see a lot of terebinth trees, right, Nathan? A lot of idol worship, a lot of pagan practices that really should not be there. And when you and I visited Israel, Nate, you and I were very surprised to see how loose the people of God were.
Absolutely. You know, it's weird. I got to go back when I was in Bible college in Philadelphia on a world religions tour. And our professor didn't have to take us all around the world. We only had to go to New York City. And we went to New York City and we visit a sheikh temple. We visit a Buddhist shrine. We visit an Islamic mosque. But we also visited a Hindu temple. And it's really interesting that the Hindu temple was filled with little wooden gods, tables of them. And you had all these and Christmas lights, real kind of tacky decorations. But they were lighting incense to all these hideous little statues. And in the corners of the temple were much larger wooden statues. They got veils around them. And occasionally, I don't know what you call a Hindu priest would be, but he would go in and he'd open up the veil and he'd wash the giant statue in milk, which was very strange, to make it like pure and white as snow, so to speak, and then dry it. And all these people were worshiping idols. And you're like, wait a minute. This is, you know, at the time, I think that was 1994, 95. You know, this is modern times. And yet a huge swath of people in this world still bow down to little statues. But it doesn't have to be a statue. You know, a terebinth tree could be anywhere where paganism is done. Watching TV, you know, going to a strip club, you know, worshiping Wall Street, you name it. There are terebinth trees still all over the place. We just doesn't have to be tied to little idols anymore, because everything that is against God, that we worship instead of God, I should say better, is a terebinth tree.
Wow, Nathan. Yeah, you know, it's interesting when the holidays come around, people get so bent out of shape when people put up a Christmas tree. And, don't you know that's so pagan, and that's come from the pagan this. And I tell people, yeah, well, you know, we have to be very careful, because it's not just a tree in a sense. It's the heart of the person. And you might not have necessarily a tree per se, but there's so many other things that you worship. So, Nathan, that's a good passage. And what a great reminder you just gave us right there.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to study that. The high places, too, you read all throughout. Again, Isaiah is 2,700 years ago. So you're talking about Israel, which God sent into the promised land to defeat all the very grossly evil, all the ites of the land of Israel, the Amorites, the Perizzites, all the ites. And but they were gross idol worshipers. They sacrificed their babies to Molech. And, you know, they commit all sorts of horrific sin, and God's justice, his punishment on them, was the destruction of them by the Jewish people. He gave them 400 years to repent, but the people didn't repent. Unfortunately, Joshua, thank you, I want to say Josiah, but that's too many years later, same thinking, Joshua came in, and the people didn't defeat all the enemies. They left quite a number. I guess they felt bad for them or something, but their idol worship influenced the Jewish people, the Israelites, and the Israelites eventually fell into idol worship. So by this time, you know, 700 to 800 BC, the nation had long passed from its foundations where it was standing on righteousness. It had become as corrupt as the nations around them. Now, we just finished going through Ezekiel and the other minor prophets, and as you go through them, that's farther along. That's closer to Israel's destruction, the northern kingdoms in 722 BC and the southern kingdoms in 586 BC. So at this stage, though, it shows you the Lord's patience, because the people are evil. He's calling to repentance, but we know God's final judgment on Israel wouldn't happen until decades later.
Oh, Nathan, and you just mentioned something there very prophetically of what is going to come later on in the future. And that's what we love about this book of Isaiah. It's going to be almost like a telescope. When you expand the telescope, you can see further. When you retract it, you see things closer. Prophetically speaking, we're going to see a lot of that happen in the book of Isaiah. It's beginning in the next chapter that we're going to now continue in chapter 2. We're going to see a telescopic view from the present to the past, to the far future, if you will. And this is another fascinating portion of scripture that we don't want you to miss, and we want you to follow along with us. So again, for those of you that just tuned in, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Bautista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We're making our way through this amazing prophetic book of Isaiah. Now, Nate, as we get to chapter 2, what a fascinating chapter. And we're going to just continue right through. Would you be able to read for us, Nathan, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and I'll read verse 4 for those that don't have a Bible?
Yes, okay, moving into chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
In verse 4, he shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat the swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Nathan, we just finished the book of Ezekiel. You and I have talked through Zechariah and some other books, but here we have some amazing prophecies.
Yeah, I mean, just before this series, we did a short one on the kingdom, and that is what we're reading here. And so you're wondering, like, wait a minute, Isaiah is calling the people from 2,700 years ago to come to repentance. God says he's going to judge them and wipe out all that's evil and restore the redeemed, the penitent. They will go into the kingdom. And then we get into the kingdom right here in chapter 2. And so one of the things about interpreting prophecy is understanding what's called prophetic perspective. A lot of times, like, say, for instance, this past year, my wife and I went to Montana. We went to Glacier National Park, beautiful, beautiful park. And where we were standing from our perspective, it looked like a mountain range with a few bumps, but it looked like a solid mass of mountains. Well, as we drove over those mountains and came to the other side, what were there? More mountains. Well, we couldn't see those mountains. We couldn't see that there was a valley in between the first range we saw and the next. And that's what prophetic perspective is. The prophets could look forward through prophecy at certain events, but they didn't know there would be gaps, valleys in between those mountains. So the church age, for instance, 2,000 years between, and even the fall of Israel and the exile in 582, so about 2,500 years, there's a valley there between the Lord saying he will cleanse Israel to the fact that the remnant will go into his kingdom. So that's why it's kind of hard to read the Old Testament prophets, because they didn't get a lot of new inspiration that the New Testament prophets had to fill in a lot of these gaps. And so we have to read like Revelation chapter 20 and all to understand what we're reading here in Isaiah 2 is about the millennial kingdom. I'm sorry, Vic,
Nathan,
go ahead.
What a great explanation. I love that, because that is where people sometimes get confused. They sometimes don't understand these prophetic peaks and valleys. And they don't know where to place prophecy. Well, where does this fit? Where does the Bible talk about that? Another great valley that we find has to do with the rapture, the tribulation. Those are things that still haven't occurred and are going to occur in the future. Yet the millennium is going to occur in the far future. Nathan, you and I are both familiar with two amazing books that I have in my library, and you've heard about it. One is by Clarence Larkins, the greatest book on dispensational truth of and he speaks about, Nathan, these peaks and valleys. Another amazing book is that by the late Tim LaHaye, that was co-author of Left Behind with Thomas Ice, which is charting the end times, and also in there describes these peaks and these valleys. of Bible prophecy, events that still haven't occurred. Yet here in the book of Isaiah chapter 2, we start to see some of these events that thousands of years into the future.
Yeah, and they're kind of mixed up a little bit in a blender too, because when we eventually get to verse 5, it talks about the day of the Lord. Well, the day of the Lord is the tribulation, and that happens before the millennial kingdom. So again, it's a little confusing when you read the prophets, but further illumination from the New Testament helps us interpret the Old Testament. Brother, just, I know we covered the millennial kingdom in another series, but you know, for folks just joining us, I think it's really incredible to read these passages, because we're getting a taste of what will happen when Jesus Christ returns and he defeats evil and sets up his kingdom, what that kingdom is like. And so we know it's his kingdom because verse 2 calls it the latter days, and that's always a reference to the end times. It covers the tribulation into the millennial kingdom. We're at the latter of the latter days at the end of the church age here. And it tells us that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. And that's led some theologians to believe that not only will Jesus Christ return and reign from Jerusalem, Jerusalem will be the most esteemed of the mountains of the world, but it could possibly, after all the devastation of the day of the Lord, the tribulation, that it might be one of the highest mountains in the world during that time period, and all the nations will flow to it. So we got quite a lot there. We learned that Jerusalem, which is all the world seems to fight over it. Why? Because Satan knows that Jesus is going to come back and be king in Jerusalem. That's why the Vatican wants it, the UN wants it, the Arabs want it, you know, America wants, everybody wants a piece of Jerusalem. Brother, you and I have been in Jerusalem. It's not that great, Shakes. You know, it's not, it's nothing compared to, you know, New York or London or Dallas or wherever. You know, it's small, but it's important because that's where the king is going to return, and it's going to be one day the most important city on the whole planet.
Oh, Nathan, that, you know, some people talk about New York City, the Big Apple, as being an exciting city. Hey, there's no place better than what God has prepared for us, of what he is preparing for us. And that's amazing. Also, Nathan, a few wonderful references, just in case people are new to Bible prophecy. Great references found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, prophetically speaking about this time period. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, as God establishes this in the millennium, says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep his feasts and tabernacles. And it shall be that whoever of the families of the earth who do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them will be no rain." And we spoke about this, Nate, also when we went through the book of Ezekiel, likewise.
Yes, yes. It's amazing to think that Jerusalem, that's so embattled today, will be the center of peace. I mean, look in verse 4 there. "He," Jesus, "shall judge between the nations." So he's going to be the great judge, the great teacher. The whole world is to walk in his teachings. But it says, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." You know, mankind, since the beginning of history, has looked for to build some kind of utopia where there's peace. But there'll never be peace apart from the Prince of Peace. Sin reigns in our hearts, and evil will always fracture us. But in the millennial kingdom, no nation will declare war on each other. No one will fight. We will sit under our fig tree or under our vine, and no one will make us afraid. Brother, living in this world is so exhausting. It's so tiring, all the sin and evil and fighting, all the hatred of the Jewish people going on right now. But we know the Lord promises here in Isaiah that one day, the world, they shall not learn war anymore. Man, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, Nathan, so am I. The trillions of dollars that they're spending right now on arsenal to destroy one another is just sad. All the money that goes into building nuclear weapons, everybody wants to be more powerful than the next. And the thought to know that someday, you know, all that money, if you will, is going to go into agriculture instead, because there will be no more war anymore. It's going to go into the blessing of people rather than the destruction of people. We can't wait for that to happen, right, Nate?
Oh, my goodness. And it's going to be very soon, because the Lord said, he gave this fig tree parable, that once the nation of Israel is back in the land again, that will be the era, the time period, the generation, genea, that will see the Lord return. Brother, we're living in it. Israel, on May 14th, just this past month, they celebrated their 76th anniversary. It can't be much longer. I'm not saying that generation is 70 years or 80 years or 120. Genea means time period. We see Israel back in the land. All the world hates the Jews. They want the Jews destroyed. It'll only get worse in the tribulation. But the Lord will return, and he will set up his kingdom on this earth. It's got to be soon, man. When I say soon, you know, years, decades, but it's got to be soon.
Oh, Nathan, no, and I'm right there with you. Again, the prophecy, Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. That's where we are sitting right now. We're living in pins and needles. We're going to be this year electing a new president for the United States of America, with hopes of someone sane coming into power and leading our country. And so many people are so afraid right now, Nathan, that, I mean, this could be it. And yes, we are living in those times where we can't wait for better news for the future.
Absolutely. Good news, right? Just like our theme music says.
And that's why, Nathan, speaking of good news, as we go through the book of Isaiah, we also want people to recognize that much of what we're sharing here is prophetically speaking, but we always say, for the child of God, you do not have to fear, especially those of you that have trusted in the Lord, because we believe in the rapture of the church. That is one of the next great signs, where the Lord is going to come and take us out of here before these events take place. And that's what we're looking forward to. But we also want to invite you to come along for the ride. If you have not trusted in Christ, what are you waiting for? With all these signs, all these things being fulfilled right before our eyes, we believe that you cannot afford to be left behind. And Nate, maybe there's someone out there who's still grappling with this relationship with God. They believe that they need to start this relationship, but they're hesitant. How would you encourage them to start, Nathan? And what would you say to them?
Well, I love what verse 27 in chapter 1 begins, says, Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and her penitence with righteousness. What is a penitent? A penitent is someone who returns, who becomes faithful again, who feels sorrow for their sins and seeks righteousness, seeks to be forgiven, as we said in the last episode, to have their crimson or scarlet sins washed clean and made white as snow. And you can only enter heaven through Jesus Christ, who provides that cleansing, that salvation through his blood. First John teaches that only through the blood of Jesus are our sins forgiven. Now, it doesn't mean you wear blood. What it means is that Jesus shed his blood on the cross to take the punishment for your sin, hell, upon himself. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging in your heart, you know it's time, you need to repent, then pray from your heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I've been in rebellion against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Jesus promises to wash that sin away, to wash that guilt away, and you will become an inheritor of the kingdom of Christ.
Ooh, and we say hallelujah to that. Thank you so much, Nate, for sharing that. Maybe you pray that prayer. Maybe you just trusted in Christ after listening to what Nathan had to say. We want to hear from you. We want to rejoice with you. The Bible says a celebration in heaven for any sinner that turns to God. But we also want to celebrate by giving you a Bible and a Bible study guide so that you can continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. You can simply reach out to us by calling or texting or emailing us. You can email Nathan at webminister@lamblion.com. Or you can call or text at 305-992-9537. We'd love to get a Bible in your hand and a study guide so you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. We also encourage you to find a good Bible teaching church, join and be part of it, get baptized, and grow in the things of God, because we believe the Lord is coming back very, very soon, and we're very excited for you. And Nathan, we also love to hear back from people, especially those that are tuning into our programs. right? So if anybody wants to reach out to us and just let us know they're listening in, we'll be thankful for that as well, right?
We would be. And if you happen to be in the Daytona, Florida area, check out Calvary Chapel Speedway, pastored by Vic Batista.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan, for that plug. And call us at 305-992-9537. Well, we ran out of time for this segment of the program, but Nathan and myself, we thank you for being part of it. We pray you have a wonderful week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a great week.